What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Bizarre Junkies podcast. I have missed you. I know you've missed me. If you're following along, you've probably been in the Friday show and you're like, where has the show been? Travis is here now, so that's safe to say it's back.
We're back, baby.
We're back. We have a killer episode for you today. Obviously, you know how to read, so you know the title and description of this, but we are joined by an actual minister and his actual friend of the studio, and I help produce a podcast that she's on. But today we are joined by Alexandra Harbushka, who is a minister. And we have kind of gone back and forth. As soon as I told you about this show, every week you come in, you're like, what did you guys do this week? Yeah. And I'm like, we have a paranormal investigation coming up, which, spoiler, Travis, this comes out before we start that.
So we're spoiling it? It's happening. We're doing it.
We're filming it. When you guys get this, when you hear this on Monday, we're getting ready to start filming. We're actually going to do an investigation here at the studio.
I'm so excited for you.
Because a lot of stuff has been happening.
I'm sure. Well, I feel like if you start looking for it, it shows up.
Yeah, but like, to be fair, I'm not looking for it here. And I'm not even the one that it's been happening to.
Okay.
It happened to George. Happened to Travis. This morning comes in and goes, Austin, you may have noticed that when you came in this morning, the alarm wasn't set because something kept setting it off.
Yeah, but the motion detectors kept detecting a person. It says there's a person detected, and it would siren immediately. And then I had to turn it off.
Wow. That used to happen to me. I worked in new home sales, and we have to set the model homes, set the alarm for each home. And there'd be times that we'd go in, and the music was blasting, but it was controlled from one of the other houses, or, like, pillows would be everywhere, or chairs would be, and it would be perfectly set the night before, and no one else had keys.
Interesting. Okay. So you told me in passing occasionally, yeah, you're like, I'm a minister. And like, I never knew what that meant. But then last week I told you that we were going to do a hunt here or an investigation. And you were like, do you think it's demons? And I was like, I don't believe in demons in the sense of like angels and demons.
I'm like, how do you not believe in angels and demons?
But then Brandon, who I've talked about a lot on the show, I need to have him on. So Brandon from Vegas just ripped into me, Travis. He was like, your whole generation is stupid.
No. Okay.
He's like, you guys believe in astrology, but you don't believe in heaven. I'm like, I don't believe in either. So like, that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's like people saying, yeah, I'm an atheist, but then they believe in the stars and how they affect their moods.
Or angels,
yeah.
Angel numbers.
Can't do that.
Angel numbers,
yeah,
Travis.
You can't have one without the other.
See, here's where I'm at with it is I do believe that there's a thing that's like low vibrational beings, but I think it's dimensional. I don't think it's necessarily like a heaven or hell kind of scenario. We're jumping way ahead.
We are. Okay.
So you are a minister. So understand
what is that?
Yeah. So I go into a little bit of like what it is and how you ended up becoming a minister.
Okay. Very interesting story, because I never thought this would ever be me. I was raised as a Christian and always, went to church because that's what you do, and did that basically till about college, post-college, went when I felt like it, Christmas, Easter, things like that. And I kind of just got away from it. And I had our little boy in 2020, and the entire process of being able to be pregnant was an absolute gift, in my opinion, a gift from God. Like, it's a miracle. Every pregnancy, like, how does that even happen? And then to be able to bring life into this world completely changed me. And I thought, I want to get to know God better, because He allowed me to be a mom. Well, so did my husband.
there is technically another part to that.
And my husband.
As somebody who has a child, I understand the process.
There's a process, right?
Correct.
My husband says he does all the work. And I'm like, you did nothing.
I did
all the work.
I got a good 30 seconds of fun, and he looks identical to me, and she calls it a scam.
Right, totally, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, so post that, and you could say, hey, it was the hormones, who knows what it was. But I thought, well, I want to take a Bible study class. And I thought, well, I don't really want to go to church. I don't want to have to like bring the cookies and, do the whole thing. And this was also now 2020. So that wasn't even an option. So I thought, well, let me just take one class online. Let me find out. So I went and looked at different universities and thought, I'll take one class. And then, of course, one class leads to the next and the next and the next and the next. And then finally, they're like, well, now you are like five classes away from a master's. And I was like, well, obviously, I have to finish this. So I chose theology. I've always been into it. I've always loved the Old Testament, always loved
it. And so what is theology for people who aren't aware?
Theology, okay, great. So there's Bible studies and theology. Bible study is the study of the Bible. So really what happened in Genesis, what happened in Exodus, study of the Bible. Theology, study of God. So they are similar, but they have different things. So theology is, I chose Christian Christian theology. You can have really any type of God, right, that you want to study. Obviously, I chose Christian theology. And through that, it allows you to be able to interpret the Bible better. There's all these different languages that it's been, transferred into, and being able to look back and study and say, well, what really happened then? And what were the people doing? And who was the king then? And all sorts of things. So that's kind of my story.
Okay, so what exactly is a minister then? Because to give a little background, I went to church when I was younger with my grandparents.
Okay.
And I think it was something because I was not necessarily forced, but I wanted to spend more time with my grandparents. And it was kind of like when you want to go to Disneyland, you get cheaper tickets, but you have to go to the timeshare meeting.
Oh, right.
It was kind of that. Like, I'd go with my grandparents and they would always buy me stuff and I'd get to spend time with them. But then Sunday morning, your boy had to be singing.
So what type of church did you go to?
It was a Baptist church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that there's within Christianity, within the New Testament, there's so many different sects of the Christian faith that it may just have not felt right.
Right. Because I've also heard Travis was a Boy Scout. I was a Boy Scout.
I was a Girl Scout.
So Travis didn't do it the same way I did. I actually, Boy Scouts is here in Vegas especially, it's mostly ran through the Mormon churches.
Interesting.
So okay. I had Cub Scouts, which is ran, like any other at a school.
Uh-huh.
It was a recreational thing. And then the troop disbanded towards the end of it. And so one of the kids that was in it with me, his church, because they were Mormon, and they were like, oh, well, we actually have Boy Scouts there.
Also.
And so I was like, okay, cool. So I was going there and it was super cool. I was doing camping trips and they're like, oh yeah, you have to do your duty to God. project. And I was like, what the fuck is a duty to God project? I was like, that's okay. No, I'm good. I'm okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of different beliefs on that. And I learned that big time working in my cohorts and things like that is there's some parts that are like, no, you have to, it's more like a daily ritual. You have to do this in order to get God's approval. And I think that's where it turns a lot of people off. It's like, I have to do this, this, and this, and then God will accept me.
Was that the Puritans that had that? Because there was the Quakers and the Puritans, and one of them was you do things in fear of God.
Well, everything is, right.
Is it still technically that?
Like God-fearing is a saying. Basically, hey, you don't want to be on the wrong side.
Right.
Obviously. It's obvious to me, but it may not be obvious right. to everybody. But a lot of the Catholic or the Mormon or the Quaker, it's very much of you have to do A, B, and C, and then therefore you will be on the good side.
Gotcha.
Opposed to the Protestant side is like, no, you can just talk to God directly and you can work with him.
You can negotiate
it. Yeah, sure.
Travis, we're negotiating. We're getting in there. We're wearing suits.
Yeah.
We're like, what do I got to do to close this deal, God?
It's like, I got to smoke weed or else I'm not doing it. And they're like, I can't do that. You can smoke tobacco. And you're like, all right.
Works. You're like, coffee? And they were like, no. And Monster Energy? Yes. All right. Okay.
There we go.
We're getting in there.
But what's a minister? Because you asked that question.
Yeah. We keep veering from the point. That's my fault.
We're getting going here. But there's minister, there's pastor, there's priest, there's all these different. Priest is Catholic.
Yep.
So that is a Catholic thing. And I'm not Catholic.
Position, I guess.
Yeah, there's the priest. And I really don't. There's bishops, there's cardinals, there's the Pope, all that. That's its own kind of hierarchy. Then in the Protestant side, there's ministers or pastors. They're basically used as synonyms.
Right.
Yeah.
So you are you equated to a pastor then?
Uh-huh. Pastor, okay. Minister. Yeah. So you can become ordained. You can go through different churches or you can go through... there's a church that will ordain you. So post my education, post getting a master's and post.
So you had an externship basically.
I guess. Yeah.
That's great. I didn't know you had an externship or an internship and it's like, all right. Yeah. I went to college. It's like, we're really only looking for interns for altar boys right now.
Right.
Can we get those in here? But okay. So that's super fascinating because right before I was just trying to get a little bit of information and you're not currently belonging to any church, it sounds like. Correct?
I'm not a minister for a church,
okay.
I guess is what you're asking. No, I'm not. But I do use my work daily because I work with people that are dealing with sexual trauma and things like that. So I do offer pastoral counseling to people.
Oh, okay.
And so I do use it in counseling ways, but I'm not the head of a church.
Right. Yet. Would you want to be?
I don't think so.
No, because there's a lot of like drama and politics. And
I go to church and I get all pumped up. I'm like, maybe I could volunteer my time, or maybe I could be like this path. But I'm like, no.
But Thursday mornings, I really like doing the podcast.
Right. I really like being on Brandon's podcast on Thursdays.
Yeah. So, okay.
Maybe.
So,
who knows?
So with that being said, we kind of laid the groundwork here. Okay. So you are in equivalent a pastor.
Correct.
So you have, if you were to say, how many hours would you say you have invested in studying the Bible? Obviously, anybody who is, I would say, I guess, maybe I'm saying this wrong, but is religious and is actually devoted to being one with the faith is probably always studying the Bible, correct? Or always
Absolutely.
At least reading. And
always reading or participating or listening or, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think I could give you an hour.
Okay.
And I mean.
But yeah. You've spent probably a couple
hours.
Of years, right?
Yeah, years. It took me 3 years to get my master's.
Okay. So it's equatable to like yeah, being like getting an actual like business degree or
absolutely.
Like
yeah.
Travis a film degree.
Is worth it. JK.
We're here now. I mean, we're making content.
Yeah,
so we're kind of in it. So I went ahead and I asked my audience to bring forth some questions. Surprisingly, a lot of them were like, I want to stay anonymous. Normally I include names. Uh-huh. A lot of them were like, I want to be anonymous. So
that's
I was like,
wild.
So here's the thing. With my audience, I actually, and we're starting to dive more into it. We have a lot more of like spiritual uh-huh. people, not necessarily. And a lot of them are religious in the terms of like Christianity, but a lot of them are like, they practice voodoo. They practice hoodoo. They practice mm-hmm. divinations
that,
and stuff
that
like
shit
that.
That scares me.
You should come on the call-in show. I gotta introduce you to my co-host.
Okay.
The Black
like
Cauldron.
Voodoo.
I think you would like Miss Noah though. Like she's nice.
Magic. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like spiritual.
Witches.
Sure.
They're real.
Well, yeah, I mean, in what
like
sense?
Like Beyonce
yeah.
is a witch.
Beyonce is a witch?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you have to finish that off now. You walked into that one. I'm not going to let you get away with.
Yeah, so here's my thing on what's so we were talking about angels and demons and things
Correct.
Like that. And I think there's a lot of demonic forces that are out there. And it as a mother and as a Christian, that scares the shit out of me.
Definitely. I just as a parent, I resonate with you
yeah.
on that.
I mean, there's obviously bad people out there.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's people that are demonic and that are worshiping Satan. Like just today, I had to go to the post office before dropping my son off at school. And it wasn't the post office, it was like a postal ant or whatever. And I walk in and the woman working there has devil horns on. And I'm like, what the? This is March. This is like Halloween. Okay. But I'm like, why do you have devil horns on? Like that might've been something so innocent, but I don't look at that as innocent. And I immediately was like praying over my son. Like,
yeah.
I don't want you, I don't know what, because oh, I'm getting going now.
Right. No, I'm going to let
yeah,
you.
That freaks me out because I don't want you to possess my son. I don't want you to get in his head. I don't want you to get in my head.
Okay.
Yeah. So Beyonce. So back to this.
Yeah.
So Satan,
I'm thinking about myself
Satan.
Right now because you're.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to that after Beyonce.
So Satan was the angel of music and he fell from heaven.
Okay.
God kicked him out.
Yes.
So yeah. he condemned him to hell and he was originally the angel of music.
Okay.
And you listen to our music today. It's satanic. It's weird.
And you're talking about pop music, right?
I'm talking Beyonce. I'm talking Taylor Swift.
Okay. Because I wouldn't consider that demonic.
Oh, I do now.
I'm going to show you.
Yeah, I did.
Have you
before.
Seen my tattoos?
No.
Oh, Travis, she might walk out of here. They're not, here's the thing. I'm not a demonic person. I don't think
yeah.
I'm. Travis, am I demonic?
You're on the, you're not ill intentioned. I think that you do just, you know, you don't believe in the demonic side of many things. So you just kind of do whatever. Like there's people who wouldn't sit that close to a Ouija board. In general.
Yeah, but also I got it from Amazon.
Fair enough.
I do believe, though, that like if you have the negative intent, like I'm never going to use that thing mm-hmm. ever. It's a prop.
Right.
But like it's, George was like, we got to use it on the next event. I'm like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
Because I part of me does believe in like portals and stuff like that.
Right.
Which, not to freak you out, but so we had Adam Lieberman called in to the call-in show and he said that this used to be a boxing gym. Mm-hmm. But this whole wall here, mm-hmm. all the way to the back, was a mirror.
Okay.
And my tarot lady was like, oh, yeah, no, that's not, we got to cleanse this place. That's not good that you just had a mirror chilling in here. And it's with boxing, so it's a lot of, like, aggressive
yeah.
energy. And you're letting it out. Like, at the jiu-jitsu gym I go to, there's no mirrors.
Huh.
There's no yeah. mirrors. There's nowhere to trap that energy, Travis.
Interesting.
It's above my pay grade.
It is above your pay grade. Okay, so That's interesting because I'm a metalhead at heart. Like I've been forever. Mm-hmm. There are bands that I listen to that are like, and the thing is, I listen to them for because I like the music, not because I'm like, oh, I want to praise Satan, like right. ever.
Well, that's the thing. You don't realize you're doing right. it, and you start saying little words, and you start saying like, and you don't realize that it's coming out. The words that you are saying are demonic or satanic or worshiping, not in a positive way. And so, again, I love Rihanna.
Okay.
I love her music. I love her jewelry, but I have a hard time listening to her music because I think that it's like when we watched her at the Super Bowl a year ago, she was putting up different signs and she's wearing red and like I don't think any okay. of it is. There might be certain, so there's a whole thing with sound as well. Like there's positive sound waves and negative sound waves. There's like positive sound waves that can make you feel good and can kill viruses in your body. And then there's other sound waves that can destroy your emotions and things like that. Perfect example. Have you seen where they take ice or they take water or they take your tears? Like, so if you have tears of sorrow, and you freeze it and you look at the crystals, it literally looks sad. If you take tears of joy and freeze it, they look happy. They look like beautiful snowflakes. They're not also different snowflakes. They've played music to different waters.
Yes. We covered this on with Jamie Lynn, who has a show here. She's a therapist.
Okay.
And she was telling us about that. Not in the religious aspect, but in the like your emotions mean something.
Yes.
And we actually pulled it up on the show. We saw that there was...
It's wild. Yeah. Right. And so I think that there is a lot being played into our music that really does hurt us on a cellular level that we don't even realize. And the words that might be being chanted might be words of, I don't know. I don't want to know.
Thank God you're not meeting freshman year me because I was edgy. I was really, okay. I did.
Where are you now?
I just don't care anymore. I still listen to the same music. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I listen to other music, but I was a musician for 10 years. So like okay. I listened to what I resonated with.
Yeah.
Granted, like there's a band, it's going to sound really bad. There's a band that I like. They're from the UK and they're called Infant Annihilator. Crazy. Okay. And their whole first album was talking about like the hypocrisy of like the Catholic Church.
Okay.
It was the vocalist doing it. The instrumentals on it. Amazing. The vocals were like, they went hard. They were some cool vocals. They were deep. They were dark, but it was like it was almost like poetically it was cool. Right. It wasn't like, oh, the meaning behind it is like, yeah, I'm going to get behind that. It was just the music resonated with me.
I like it. If it resonates, sometimes it resonates with your body. Sometimes it resonates with your whatever emotionally you're going through. So I think that's also a good thing. But, well, let's go on. I was going to get into the Catholic
Church. I almost even want to show her my tattoos now because she's like, she's going to leave.
No.
I don't have like a pentagram or anything like that tattooed on me, but I don't like, I just have cool stuff that I like.
Is it like Satan?
Not necessarily.
Is it devil horns?
No.
And that's okay. That's the thing about Satan.
All right. I'll just.
Yeah. Let me see.
All right. It's all on my arms. Okay. One of them is really wholesome. Okay. I had a friend who actually helped me start this page. He passed away in 2021 from COVID. So
that's
I put his birth date on my arm. Okay. That was my first tattoo. Hang this up.
This is exciting, guys.
Yeah, it's the first
time. I just realized because she's only been here a few months and it's been winter. So I've always had a jacket on.
I'm always in a turtleneck. I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't always wear turtlenecks.
This is one of them.
Okay, that's not.
That's not that bad.
No.
Wait, show the camera. Show the camera.
Oh, so this one. Ooh. Ooh, we're getting vibrations on that one, I guess. Ooh. This one, my cat.
Okay.
My left arm, though, crazy. So I have this one.
So, okay. Yeah, that's a little dark.
And then I have this one.
Okay, so it's a skull with
candles.
A snake and a candle. Okay,
well, it's actually more of like a vapor.
Vapor. What are you doing with that one?
It looks nice. I like it.
Okay.
And then this is my friend's birthday and his initials.
And then you have like the graveyard chaser.
Yeah, Grim Reaper, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Here's the thing. I never got him because I was like, I can't wait to dedicate my life to Satan or anything like that. I just liked him.
Okay.
They look cool.
I just think there's a lot of people out there with ill intention and they're able to do it so, right in front of our eyes. Where like I didn't go to Taylor's concert. You couldn't get me there. But from what I saw on Instagram and social media, they were doing like rituals.
Well, that's just because they're Swifties. Like, that's probably mental illness.
But no.
Legitimately speaking.
The stage. No, Taylor was. I mean, it wasn't the Swifties. It was what she was doing on stage. It was like a cult-like ritual. Uh-uh.
Okay.
If I were, I'd be praying.
Yeah, you and I would not go for different reasons.
Right.
You wouldn't catch me at a Swifty show.
I wouldn't.
I just wouldn't want to go.
I wouldn't want whatever was being hexed part of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I don't look into things that deeply.
Okay.
But maybe that's just my downfall. Maybe you'll see me on the bus downwards with Travis and George. And well, who's driving?
Trey.
Trey is driving. We've
because he doesn't know how to drive.
Because he doesn't know how to drive in the real life. So, okay. So that's interesting that we've gotten in it. Because I see people pointing that out all the time. And I don't label you as one of those people, but all the people that I've seen share that stuff on Facebook have like two followers, and they're like my grandmother. They're fringe and they're off. They're gone.
So I think about that too. I'm like, am I getting to that age in my life where like that age of like the grandmother age. I'm not a grandmother by any means, but like.
No, you're what, 27?
I wish. But am I getting to that point of like. Good and bad, bad and evil, or listening to music and going, that's not right.
Yeah, I would say it's more acceptable if you're just like, I just can't stand Taylor Swift. I'd be like, yeah, yes.
Right.
I stand with Alexandra on that.
No, but. they snap. The celebrities snap overnight. They drink the juice. There's something that they do and they snap.
Yeah, it's called the label.
You can see it.
They get bought and then they have to do stuff.
They sell their soul. They literally get.
I was almost there. Okay. I almost got signed to Red Bull when I was in a band. No, okay. Legitimately, really? Red Bull Records. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, so we had Kevin, the dad of the Jonas Brothers. He did a show here. He used to be a pastor.
Okay.
And then his son's band started taking off. So they kind of shunned him from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he started doing that. But like, you talk to him and he's like, yeah, no, I'm still very tied in religiously. And people are like, the Jonas Brothers are doing this. And I'm like, after meeting them, like I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because like Kevin is still very right. Maybe. You keep looking behind me. It's like
me?
Is it the Ouija board?
The Ouija board. Yeah. And then I keep looking at the gold curtains.
Oh, okay.
They're drawing out.
I'm just making sure like
there's nothing behind you that I'm seeing is what you're asking.
Well, no, even if there was, I've already heard that there's stuff here, so but okay. So I have some questions here and I want to start asking you some of them. So how does your faith inform your perspective on paranormal phenomena?
Okay. I love that because I'm also into paranormal.
I can tell because you ask me every week, you're like, what'd you find? What are you doing? When's the next video? And I'm like, I'm glad somebody's keeping me in check because I'm not.
That's a really interesting thing. And that's kind of a hard one because if you are a Christian, then you're not supposed to believe in paranormal or you're supposed to believe that those are like demonic or Satan or whatever.
Right.
I believe in angels. Absolutely. I believe there's angels around me. I believe you can call on angels. I believe you can also call on other forces. I believe in the quantum realm. We kind of talked about that. You sort of started about different realms. Was that?
Yeah, like dimensional.
Dimensional.
Because that's what some people think aliens are, is it's a different dimensional being.
Oh, those are for sure real, even though you're not supposed to believe them as a Christian either.
Right, right. You also have coffee, though, too, right?
I do. Well, not anymore, but I like coffee.
Okay. And you sell real estate, too, so. I don't know what the guideline is with the church on selling real estate.
No, you can sell real estate.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
God says get your money up, not your funny up.
One of the commandments says you can't wear fabrics of different textures. Like you can't do cotton and latex together.
Or polyester.
Polyester.
Dang, so I'm like, I'm always
breaking
that
rule. I know, all of us are. Yeah.
They're getting us.
They took that out. I mean, there's only 10 commandments now that you follow, but one of the original commandments is, that's why you see the Amish. Mm-hmm. They have the little suspenders and all that. That's because they have one fabric.
Okay. Yeah, because they're very
into it.
But okay, so going back to the phenomena. And how do
I personally involve? I believe that there are evil spirits and bad spirits. I believe that you can ask that you can choose to see them or choose not to see them. I think that we're all born with that ability to have psychic ability or mediumship or ability to see spirits. And I think that we either at one point decide to block it out or not block it out. So as a Christian, I know that's a hard one to throw out there. So people listening like, I don't know about that, Alexandra. I think that that might have been something that was, so we go back to the Bible. There were texts that were written, and I have absolute faith in what is written in the Bible. But I also think there's probably other texts that weren't included.
Right.
And I think that there was a lot of religion that was used to control people, used to manipulate people. And I think that maybe some of the things that we're talking about was left out or used to control people.
See, and I was going to ask you that later on, mm-hmm. because I've had people on who are maybe not as historically educated as you are, like having to go mm-hmm. through and read all the textures. But a lot of them are talking about, like, with medieval times, like how they invented, not invented, but they used religion, and some of them even say invented religion to control mm-hmm. people and to control monetary value. And that's the reason why you have a priest or a pastor, is because they have to interpret it, and they have to go through and go, actually, I'm going to say this as this.
Yeah. Rome is 100% in control of the right. Catholic faith.
Like, well, I mean, we have that now with, like, evangelical.
Right. Absolutely.
With now, if you're evangelical, you're almost 100% right wing. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to. Religion is a political wing.
Uh-huh. Right. I didn't think of it that way, but I had talked to a lot of evangelical people in my courses, and I'm like, whoa, you're out there. Like,
are they out there rural, like in a rural area too?
I don't know. They had a laptop. They had Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Do they? But what's the loan they can get if they're in rural?
It's a rural loan. I forget what it's called. But yeah.
But they probably have that loan. So
probably,
that's how you can tell.
Okay. Probably.
So, okay, so you're saying...
I believe in spirits. I absolutely do.
But you believe in it in the sense of potentially spirits you're seeing are most likely demonic.
No.
No?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I believe that you can talk to your relatives that have deceased. I believe that, yeah, absolutely. I think that there's people walking through my house all the time.
You should clean it. You should sage it, and then they don't walk
in. I have a really big house.
Maybe you hire somebody? Maybe
I have 20 doors.
You're supposed to walk out of all of them backwards.
So someone, I had talked to someone about cleanse, because my son for a while was having a hard time sleeping. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I cannot get it. He was night terrors as a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there were demonic forces. Of course, my husband did not. And
right.
So someone's like, you should put salt around your property. And I'm like, I don't know how much salt I'd have to
send them the Zillow listing, and you're like, tell me how much salt I would
I'd have to use. And then they're like, we need all your doors. I'm like, I have 20 doors. I would be there doing that every single night. I would never go to bed. So anyways,
but you wouldn't, but he would.
Yeah, exactly. I ended up putting salt underneath his bed, and it worked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right then. Okay. So in this next question, in your opinion, how do religious beliefs intersect with the understanding of true crime and the paranormal? So true crime being like, for example, like murder cases,
okay.
Serial killers, stuff like that. And oftentimes serial killers, a lot of them are found to have mental illness.
I was just going to go there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think, I don't know how that happens. I honestly don't know enough about like murders or serial killers or anything like that. I do know that all people can get off, of course, we can easily be persuaded down, you know, like I'm thinking Big Bad Wolf as a mom, like, come down this path, like, come with me,
yeah.
You know, oh, look at how big your smile is, like, you know, all that. I think you can easily get down a bad road. I think that a lot of that has to do with mental illness. I think that has to do a lot of maybe the way you were raised. I think it has to do with substance abuse. When you're using any sort of substance, you are not in the full right mind, right? So I don't even know how that works. I don't know how you get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
do believe you can be saved.
Right.
I do believe that there's a lot of people that, when they do go to jail and things, they practice forgiveness, they practice salvation, they practice all of that. They've done studies of people who lost a loved one, and they will go into the prisons and they will meet with the person that murdered their loved
right.
one and work
as like a
through
sense of
God.
Closure,
yeah,
right?
Will work through God for forgiveness.
Now,
absolutely.
It's with your counseling, is that something you kind of do? Where not necessarily taking the victim with their abuser, but like using God to work through that trauma?
I do. Well, I talk a lot. I do ask people if they're faith-based, and if they are, then we work through that. If they're not, I still basically say the same thing and just leave the word God out.
You're like, you should treat yourself. You should
right.
take care of yourself.
Right.
Religiously?
Right. But I talk a lot about forgiveness and responsibility. So I guess I'm thinking, if this was a murderer or just a bad, bad, bad person, I would say that you're going to meet your own demons at some point, unless you, I don't know, find God.
Right. The way I feel about that is we all have demons in our life, but I don't see it as like a metaphysical demon. I just think of it as we use demons as like a way to connotate like a challenge mm-hmm. or like an obstacle in your way. Mm-hmm. Like for me, like, oh, I face my demons every morning, which is just facing my alarm. I don't think my alarm is necessarily a demonic force, but.
Well, the devil can show up in any form. I mean, he showed up as a snake to Adam and Eve.
Right.
So he doesn't have to be the guy with the horns or the woman at the with horns on today.
Is it Travis?
Could be Travis.
You got me. Ah!
He just literally melts in the chair.
Yeah.
We found him. Okay. So this next one asks, have you ever encountered any stories or things in your life that challenged your beliefs or understanding of the paranormal in regards to your religion or your religious belief?
I have not.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Can interesting.
More on, like,
I guess we could go over mine then, because I've told you that my belief system was challenged.
Yeah, let's talk about you. I want to hear that.
Okay. I mean, technically, you're the guest. But
I want to challenge you, though. Let's
okay, so here's the thing with me is when I went to church, none of it made sense to me.
Okay.
Ever. And so I just never went back into it, and I really don't. Religion to me never made as much sense, and religion in the aspect of like spirituality with God. Mm-hmm. Religion as like a social construct, awful. I hate it.
How so?
Like my grandmother, for example, talked down to me because of who I voted for.
Okay.
Politically, because it wasn't right with God.
Well, I might too. Just kidding.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm talked down to myself for voting for that person too, but not because of political or religious reasons, because I was so young and naive. Mm-hmm. And now I actually, I really don't even care if I share this here, but like now I'm independent. Like now I vote independent. I don't like the left or the right side. Like not, they're both wrong. They're both just trying to achieve the same goal, which I'm trying to achieve, but not politically. I would like to make money too, but through content, not through taking advantage of people politically and using their belief systems against them. But so I never really liked religion for the aspect of now religion is kind of turned. And granted, there's always the exception. People like you, people like I've had other people on the show who are religious who believe in God who aren't trying to constantly tell me that I need to be saved.
Right.
That's what does it for me. Like my grandmother, every time I call her, we have to pray, which I let her because I love my grandmother and I have respect for her and I let her do her thing.
I agree with that. When you're trying to push yourself on someone or a way of life on someone, I agree. When I've gone to churches that are very ritual based, again, you have to do this, this, and this, and therefore you're okay. That doesn't work for me either.
Right. Because the way I've been hearing it now is like you have a relationship with God.
Absolutely.
That's okay. Like, and the thing is like, I'm never going to talk down to somebody if they believe in God. Like, okay, if you do, but you're not trying to push it on me, cool.
Yeah.
That's how I am with everything. Like people who are gay, like, okay, I don't care. Like if it makes you happy and you're not hurting anybody, cool. Let let them do whatever. But so going back to the initial story, though, so we did a paranormal investigation. My first time ever, I think, Travis, as well. I don't think you've ever done one before that, right? We did one in October at a place called the Pioneer Saloon. Travis will argue with me on this, but I definitely encountered some things. I definitely felt and witnessed and experienced things. And like for the first time ever in my life, I finally understood what energy was. Mm-hmm. Like of a room just walking and being like, it feels heavy in here or it feels different in here. And it wasn't anything like evil or demonic that we were encountering, at least as far as I think. Like it was we actually think we were talking to an employee who passed away a few months before.
I think we talked about
this. Yeah. So but for me, it was like, okay, so how do I explain that then if I'm not into religion, if I don't think God is real, if I don't think any of that is true? Where do I get my explanation from of like, what did I encounter?
Right.
Kind of thing.
So you don't believe in God?
No.
Okay. But you go to church with your grandma.
I did when I was younger because like I said, it was a bargain deal.
You're asking me, how do you believe, how can you believe in spirits if you don't believe in God? Is that what you're asking me?
That was kind of what I was being challenged with is like, so how do I explain that then?
You can't.
Right. And so like, I mean, for Travis, he has a logical explanation for everything. Oh, we heard a noise. Okay. It's the wood settling.
Yeah. It's very logical, not emotional.
Yeah. But to be fair, like Travis really didn't experience anything. Like, he witnessed, like, the spirit box session of something communicating with us, but he has his explanations for that. The only people who really, truly experienced something was myself and the two other people who were doing the investigation. We were all technically doing the investigation, but, like, mm-hmm. Travis and George were more focused on, am I in the camera? Am I, like, is the shot there? Is the audio good? Right. I was actually focusing on, what are we actually here for? What is the purpose of what am I trying to convey or trying to accomplish while I'm here?
You were present.
Yeah, I was very present in the moment.
So for you, you're at a cognitive dissonance, meaning you have your brain that says one thing, but you physically experience something else. And how do you explain it?
Correct.
It's God. You got to go to God.
Right. Right. She's like, and that's the episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're done.
No.
I mean, so here's the thing for me, like Travis, are we starting religious junkies at this point? Like,
let's keep going. Let's find out.
So for me, like with the whole God thing where it's like we're created in his image and whatnot, mm-hmm. it's like, well, then how come a child in Africa is starving or, you know, is born with the disease or like my child is born with, you know, an issue that legitimately pertains to him? That's a mental thing he has to go through and we have to deal with every day. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily check out to me. Granted, now I've heard like, oh, it's because it's testing you, which is kind of a fucked up thing to think about. It's like, oh, my child having a disability is God's like challenge to me. It's like, science always made more sense to me because you could see in front of you how we were explaining, like how we got to here.
Right.
Evolution, physics.
See, I don't believe in evolution.
Right. I figured since we're sitting here having this conversation, but like,
But there is proof that evolution didn't occur.
Correct. We can track it.
No.
Well, yeah, you can check the DNA of other species. Like, here's the thing is like, people think we're, and this is something I always got wrong. People are like, I am not a descendant of monkeys. It's like, no, we're not actually descendants of monkeys. We have a common ancestor with monkeys.
Okay.
But in your belief system,
you believe in the Big Bang theory?
Yeah. I mean, why do we have all these other planets then that we're able to observe and stars and.
Well, I did write some facts down if you want to talk about it.
Okay, yeah. Prove me wrong. Okay. All right. Okay. She's going to prove me wrong. She's going to be like, Austin doesn't know anything. Actually, she's going to become the new host of Bizarre Junkies.
Okay. So there's evolution and there's creation, right?
Correct.
So as a Christian, you would believe in creation. As a non-believer, you would believe in evolution. So as through evolution, it's life comes from non-life. It's like it just showed up. Chicken or the egg?
Right. Yeah. Granted, that's a simple term of putting it because it's over millions of years of evolution of cells forming, breeding of, and Travis, you're probably going to help me out because I haven't been to a biology class in some years. But
I'm going to let you sink, bud.
He's going to let me sink. He's going to let me look like an idiot on my own show, and he's going to be like, I would have answered it this way. He's gonna coach me after this. He's like, we got to bring her back. We're going to do it live debate.
Because that's the next pillar of evolution is, like you said, the cells. So there's like singular cells,
correct.
Two cells, three cells, four cells, and they're saying that it started with one cell, and then we have us that are, I don't even know how many, I don't know how complex.
Billions of cells, yeah.
Exactly. Right? So there's nothing that proves that we or a chicken or, you know, there's obviously bacteria,
right.
Like single cell or things like amoebas, but that's hasn't evolved to where we are today. So again, there's not proof of that, like proof that we showed up from one cell.
Okay.
Okay. So it's also talking about with the time and chance.
If you don't mind, because I always like to cite my. So where are we pulling this information from?
This is just from my own research. I can't cite it.
Okay.
It's just things I've heard in church or things I've heard.
As long as it's not from Fox News, that's okay. But I'm okay with it.
The other thing that we think about is there's, we have, like, for example, we have different species, right? So we can have different colors of cats. We can have different sizes of dogs. We can have all those different things. We can't make a dog into a cat. And that's kind of the idea of evolution, right? We've grown, we went from a fish to some legs and then we kind of grew in, or we have the monkeys or apes
or whatever.
Right,
and it branches off.
Branches off. We may be very close to them, but we're not it. So that's the theory of evolution.
Okay.
And then we can go over to creation. So if you look at everything, there's a code, right? There's There's a design and a designer. There's codes of us. You know, we have our DNA, which I'll get into in a second as well, because that's really fascinating. Everything you look at a you take a part of a leaf and look at it underneath a microscope. It's all coded. It works in a series. It works. So the Earth, the solar system, the universe, galaxies, they're actually all considered to be young.
Right.
Not old. So we measure that in thousands of years rather than billions of years. So the Earth is estimated to be about 6,000 years old, which coincides with the Genesis.
Right. So, I mean, do we, because I think we consider it to be thousands of years in terms of like human history, correct? Okay. Like of carbon dating. I mean, we had dinosaurs millions of years ago, according to scientists, which we haven't seen a real dinosaur yet, Travis. So where's the real dinosaur? I need Jurassic Park then, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Well, so the oldest living thing that we have are trees.
Right, because those are hundreds and thousands of years old.
Yeah. And those are, we can date those back to about 4,500 years ago. And that's when the flood happened. Noah.
For Noah's Ark, right?
Noah's flood, right? So we can date trees back to 4,500 years ago. So there's evidence that there was a flood.
Right.
Right? Back to the solar system. So we have the solar nebulas, which leave gas clouds, and they undergo a cycle every 26 years. And if we do the math on that, that would go back to about 6,000 years.
Interesting. Okay.
So when you look at the time frame from Genesis and you look at the Earth, it's about the same time frame. And it talks about the Earth experienced a big flood about 2500 BC, which is about 1600 years after the creation of Earth.
Right.
And all of our mountains, you can show that they have all been under sea because they all have some form of sea life in them. So you can find them, whether it's limestone, whether it's the sea life and things like that. So that just debunks, in my opinion.
Right. Based on your belief system, And I'm not trying to say this. I'm just trying to say it that way. It just makes sense in terms of the conversation.
Yeah.
That's what you need to believe in. What your belief system is. That is your proof.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, I didn't bring any notes.
You do. You have notes right there.
I have questions. I asked the audience. I didn't say, hey, guys, I need you. This is a fight camp. I need you to train me. Where's Neil deGrasse Tyson? Can we get him on the phone? Travis, do we have a line to him?
Yeah, I think his number is 865-309.
Is that Jesse's line?
That's Jesse's.
867-5309.
Yeah, it shows my age.
Actually, right, you can call that number now. Somebody bought it. But So... in your opinion, then, so what do it like? Are we just being lied to then?
Maybe
by science, like in science, because like every science teacher I've met has never, at least in my situations, has never had a political agenda or I'm gonna rule the youth and lie to them. Granted, obviously they're not the ones who came up with it.
Yeah, they're just teaching what they've learned and so on and so forth.
Right. So then, what do you think about carbon dating? So
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know how that goes.
So I. Me neither. I'm not a geologist or a biologist. So, but carbon dating is how we determine like how old like fossils are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, according to what you and the evidence you're bringing forth, fossils should only be a couple thousand years old.
Exactly.
Okay.
Carbon dating. Quick thing to understand. There's things called half-lives.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, Travis is smart as hell. Half-lives.
There's a half-life. So, like when a element is created,
right?
It takes X amount of millions or billions of years for it to just decay and go to nothing
without any outside force.
Right. So, a half-life is like how long it takes for half of that energy to dissipate completely.
Okay.
And depending on the different types of half-lives, you can kind of tell the age of when something was created and how far along it is in its journey of death. On a cellular level. So they they look at the bones of a dinosaur and then they kind of, which are just like calcified. So you're not actually getting the actual cells of the bone. It's just like a fossil, if you will. And so they're able to like use that information to be like, okay, so this tree, has been around for this many years because the cells in it are a quarter of the way dead. Or this sun is this old because the hydrogen atoms that it's putting off are this dead. I don't know anything past that, but that's how
we're podcasters.
Date...
Okay, we're not scientists.
Right.
But I don't know. But that's how they date things in the billions or the millions of years.
They go based off of half life of the cells decay.
Correct. I mean, and they're really confident about that.
It's like math.
Yeah, but I do think that scientists in general just they start with a whiteboard and then they do it. However, you know, they never consider folklore, which always has some sort of truth to it. Right?
It's not. It's always based on something.
Right. When something sticks and, you know, lasts thousands of years across multiple tribes and it's found in multiple spots in the world where they had no communication, you have to. Scientists don't consider that when they talk about that. They only see evidence.
They have to have proof.
Or what their version of proof is. Because you're a religious person's version of proof is that all four corners of the world say the same thing, but they never had contact until.
Right.
So how is that possible?
Until Wi-Fi?
Until Wi-Fi.
Until Wi-Fi.
So anyways, I'll continue. But that's kind of like how they would date it. For so long.
Okay, so so they do it based on the half life of the cells dying, or the half life of the atoms that they're of the substance they're looking at. Okay, yeah, I mean I'm a podcaster, I'm a sensationalist.
I'm probably wrong too. So who knows?
Yeah, we're about to get all the emails. Actually, Travis is wrong. It's this. So okay, that's super interesting because it's never nobody at least religiously has broken it down that that. Much to me before, like my grandparents, I go, "How do you?"
Well, of course, it happened. It's in the Bible.
Jesus said, "Okay, Grandma."
And
okay,
I agree with you on that. I don't like hearing that either. Where it's like, "Well, that's just what you have to believe."
It's like that's why I think I my belief system is leaning more towards science is because they actively try to disprove what they're finding.
Right.
They don't just take it at face value. Granted, there is, of course, everything. People are dumb everywhere. They'll take anything at face value. I could tell them ape water. Is pure spring water and is the best water, which it is.
Theory,
but people would like
theory
probably
of evolution right there.
Yeah, people would try to twist it and be like, "Oh, it cures cancer." It's like it's water. I mean, how do you stay cancer free? I mean, I guess you just live healthier, try not to have carcinogens in your body. But so, like for example, then like let's say if somebody is born with Down syndrome, but the common thing we're always hearing is that we're created in God's image. Is that necessarily God's image?
I guess so. I mean, that's up to God. I don't know. I can't answer that one for you. Or why do bad things happen to good people? Why are good people taken young? Why why all these things? Why would you have a Down syndrome child? Or why would you have a child that's missing an arm? Or why, like you said, the children that you see in poverty stricken.
Right.
Why, you know, the cleft palate and all these things. I can't answer that.
And see, and then I respect you more for that, though, because other people that I've talked to that are religious, like, well, because God, and it's like, but okay, but you're just going off of what you have conjured up in your head based on going to church and what your pastor tells you and what you pull from this. So I respect you more for just straight up being like, I don't know. Cause to be fair, we don't know everything.
Right.
Whether it's science or God, like there's something that you're not going to know everything.
And I don't know. I don't know that one. Why? You know, maybe you could go back to maybe that person would chose to be born that way.
Interesting.
So you could go with the thought of we are all little souls in heaven prior to coming down to this earth. And maybe you talk to God and make a deal and say, I want to come into life this form because I want to learn this way of life. I want to come into life in poverty. I want to come into life being disabled or something like that because I want to learn this. I want to be humbled or I want to grow a certain way. Could be that thought.
Okay. That's almost like the reincarnation tree where it's like, you know, Travis, this was fun, but I think I want to try to be born in Asia this go around. Okay.
Choose life.
All right. Let's move on to the next question. So that's
because I believe in reincarnation and that's something you're not supposed to believe in.
As a Christian, you're supposed to just believe in that. We all go to heaven or we go to where we're designated based on the choices we've made.
Right.
Based in our life.
Right.
Basically, our flesh vessel.
Right. Your relationship with God.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you.
So as someone that doesn't believe in God, what do you think happens when we die?
It's like when you, before you were
alive.
You hang
out Sticky Paws?
Yes. You hang out Sticky Paws and you start a podcast for as low as $9.99 a month. Contact us. We'll get you hooked up. Okay. Right, Travis? Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to another day.
No. So I personally think that it's just like when you go to sleep.
So your soul.
It's just done.
So do you think your soul and the body are the same? Or are they mind, body?
So here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that we have a soul, per my opinion, because I think it's all consciousness.
Okay.
I think it's all something that our brain does, because our brains are weird. They're fascinating,
Right.
Fascinating pieces of anatomy. I don't think we have necessarily souls. I think it's consciousness and learned behavior that develops who you are.
Okay. So you, okay. So you think that, again, when you die, you're just gone.
Yeah.
You don't go to heaven or hell.
Yeah. It's like when you go to sleep, it's just, you don't even know that you're dead.
Okay. Oh, you don't even know you're dead.
Yeah, no, it's like.
But what about the people that you're conjuring up
that,
here?
And this is
where you get, you don't know what to do.
I'm freaking right? out here. Yeah, no, exactly. So that's where I'm like the, I don't know.
I'm sad to think that you just, when you think you die, you just die. That makes me sad.
I'm sorry I make you sad. But no, I mean, yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
Nobody has been able, and obviously not, because if you die pertaining to religion, you go to heaven. Like, you're not going to mm-hmm. come back and be like, guys, there's a buffet every 10 feet. Granted, I'm assuming though, if you go to heaven, you probably don't even need to eat.
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
Right. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, such a weird thing because like I try not to think about it as much because it's like, and then I get in these weird, like,
sad.
Well, not necessarily sad, but my brain's like, what are we doing? And then I get a reminder from Travis. Hey, we have 9 episodes that need to come out today. Can you get on
chop,
those?
Chop.
I'm like, I don't have time to think about consciousness.
Have you talked to anybody that's had a near-death experience?
Yeah.
And they've seen heaven or hell?
I have heard. So I've talked to people who have, like, they're like, I probably would have died in another 20 seconds or so. Mm-hmm. But I know that when you're, at least what I have heard is they've done studies where when you die, you're getting close to death, your brain releases a chemical. Mm-hmm. Is it dopamine? Am I getting that right, Travis? Have you heard this?
Yeah, it's dopamine or it's
something else, but it releases a chemical. It's like a happy chemical. And so that's where people think you get like the light flashing before your eyes kind of thing. And so they always say that, but I always feel that it's their brain going, well, this is what you've conditioned me to think. This is what we're going to think we're going now.
Okay.
Because you can condition your mind to do a lot of crazy things. Like if you think, and look at the political landscape, for example, if you stay in a thought bubble or a feedback loop of right is wrong, left is wrong, right is, whatever.
Yeah.
Eventually your brain just instantly goes right is wrong, right, like the right side of the political party, they're wrong no matter what. They will never be able to get through to me.
Right.
Because you conditioned your brain to think that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're set in it. A martyr, so to say.
Okay.
So I feel that that's how that, in my opinion, that's potentially what it is your brain is going, oh, well, we believe in heaven and hell. And your brain is subconsciously going, like, because, you know, you're always thinking of, like, did I do this right? Did I do that right? Like, just mm-hmm. every day, like, oh, like, you know, with kids, especially, like, oh, was I a little too
harsh,
or do I need to buckle down on this? Like, all right. the time, like my girlfriend and I, she'll be like, I feel really bad for yelling at him, kind of thing. Like, and right. you know, we're human, so sometimes it gets, you know, you get frustrated.
Yeah, I get it. I've been there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're like, and then you try to make it up, but you try not to like overdo it because right. then it
right.
you get
right.
bad kids and stuff like that. So I think that that is what it's doing is it's your brain working off of you constantly being stressed about something mixed with that belief system you've kind of conditioned your brain to feel, and it's giving you like a, oh, we're about to die. Okay, well, this is kind of what you think is supposed to happen.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Does that make sense? Am I just rambling at this point?
I see where you can believe that.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if someone that doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in heaven or hell.
Right.
Or afterlife. Then, yeah, I can see where that's coming.
Right.
So you think you just get laid down in the ground and
that's it.
Decay.
Yeah.
Or cremation.
Or what? Tree pods?
You get reabsorbed.
Yeah, reabsorbed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that. Or they can make you into like a soup now, I saw.
Or a diamond.
Yo, you can become a diamond?
Yeah.
I think they just burn you until you become carbon. And then they compress it.
That's pretty cool, actually. So, but yeah, so that's how I feel, though, about that. But I understand where you're coming from, where it's like, no, your soul is attached to you. And then when your body is no longer capable of carrying you or your soul moves on to heaven or hell, depending mm-hmm. on your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right? Is that kind of paraphrase? It's Spark
yeah,
Notes version?
Yeah, it does. Have you heard of
astral projecting?
Yeah.
Yes, we talk about it a lot on the
call
show.
That would mean like your soul is leaving your body.
Correct. So the way that I've heard it explained from the Black Cauldron and from people who call in and say they've done it is it's like a dimensional thing. Mm-hmm. But who's to say heaven and hell isn't a dimension? Because I recently saw a video where they said they were looking at the Bible and they said hell isn't necessarily a place. It's like a state of being. It's like a state of mind. Like it's a
loophole.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like a physical place. Like you know, you have your plane ticket, you hand it to the stewardess, and they fly you down there, and you're like, oh, all right, well, Wi-Fi is good, but the heat is unbearable. But
right. But
I kind of like that idea of like hell is not a physical place or a destination. It is you're in like mental turmoil kind of thing. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that's a romanticized version that I kind of.
I'll let you. I don't know. I've not been there, so.
I hope not.
I don't know. I haven't visited it. I don't plan on it.
Not,
I don't want
not selling
to.
Real estate down
no,
there yet.
No. Okay. Don't plan on it.
Okay. And I also think that people should be good for the sake of being good, not because like it always felt, in my opinion, like religion felt like I want to go to heaven, so I guess I'll be nice.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Like, I don't want to get caught with my hand in the cookie jar and you're asking me to behave this way out of control. And you're just telling me like, you can't do this.
Right.
Because the Bible says so. I get that. And right. I don't like that either. And I think that turns a lot of people off. I think it turns a lot of people off of this like cadence or this.
Like you need to fall in line and do what the Bible says because it says so. Not because of why you were. Why necessarily are we doing it? Have you looked kind of read between the lines as to understanding it?
Let's read it. Let's understand. Let's see where the story comes from. Let's look at how this evolves, how this pertains in your life.
Hmm? Fascinating. This is like the most in-depth conversation we've had in a long time on this show. So, but you came ready, so I'm not surprised.
I want to be ready. I have another fact about Noah's Ark. Can we go there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the population... So there's this whole, again, we have theory of evolution, right?
Right.
So if we've been around for billions or whatever, million, I don't know. I don't know what the evolution thought is. But when the flood happened, there were six people that could procreate. So Noah had three sons and wives.
Okay.
So there was, six. So there's three different families.
So we're all related to the same.
We're all related to Noah.
It's like Genghis Khan. 10% of the population is him. Okay.
So if we take the population of 0.5% and times it by 4,500 years, I messed up on my notes here.
It's math. I would have messed up too.
I know. So if you look at that, so you take the three families that were able to procreate, add in some famines, add in some wars, add in the growth rate, we would be at. We've only been here. I don't have my math right. I can't even do it.
Okay.
I don't have my math right. But for those of you that are curious, definitely go back and do the math. I can't do it here while we're on stage. But
too
it
much
does.
Pressure.
I'm blushing if you can see.
Do you
it.
Average the amount, like the how long it takes, like, you know, a person will have a kid when they're 15? Like, and then you just do it that many generations since then?
Could. I don't know. I didn't do the math. It was given to me. It was
interesting.
Something I saw. Mm-hmm.
What year were those? What was Noah's Ark?
It was 1,600 years after the creation of Earth. So
how many years ago
I
was that?
Look it up in the Bible. Oh, you could Google it right now and see what it was. BC.
You should watch. So we had a leap day this year.
We did.
George went in conspiracy theory mode. It said it's actually 506 AD. Because if you just do 2024 divided by 4, because every 4 years we have a leap year, it's actually 506 AD. And we looked up like what significant events happened in 506 AD, and it was like two things.
Nothing.
So George was like, if you're having dreams about this, it's actually happening. You're just in 506 AD because it's leap year.
It says go.gale.com. Not sure if that's reputable, but it says anywhere between 2900 to 5700 BC. Is the range?
Noah was before Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if we just like literally do the math between now and then, divided by like, let's say 15, because they had, you know, children earlier in life.
Abraham was like 800 years old.
What?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Math's hard. But anyways, yeah. So that's a lot of generations.
So I don't know how old Noah was.
Probably like, well, how old was he and how old was Steve Carell when he played him in the movie? Well, just based on it, like 38 or something like that. But okay, that, because I know the Noah's Ark thing is a big thing that people talk about. But so going back to some more questions.
I got myself stuck on that one.
That's okay. It happens.
I'll come back okay. Next time.
She'll send me a text and then I'll have to hey, this is what it is. Okay, so are there commonalities or connections between religious teachings and paranormal occurrences that you may have observed? Have you actually ever had a paranormal experience besides I guess the one with your son could be counted as one.
Yeah, I've heard voices.
Okay.
I don't know if what I've seen has been like hologram, you know, like that, for example, that they've talked about you can see people and they're not really there or things like
happened
that.
Happened to me at the ghost hunt, yeah, at the paranormal investigation.
Well, it happened to me at the airport.
The airport?
Yeah.
And just a busy-ass look here in Vegas?
It was
or?
In San Diego. I was coming to Vegas. And I was meeting my girlfriends and I. We were all going to Vegas for the weekend. And I had this big Starbucks. And I was like, gosh, should I go to Starbucks or not? And it's on the other side of the gate that you can't bring your Starbucks in. And there was a police officer that says, hey, we just changed the rule. You can bring your Starbucks in. And I was like, no, you haven't. He goes, yeah, go get it. So I walk up to the TSA and I go, I can bring this through. And they're like, who told you that? I'm like, that guy. Like I was.
Damn, so they lied
and
to
you. And I literally was just talking to him and it wasn't a busy airport. It was a dead time.
It wasn't like here. Where
no,
it's always...
it was its own little terminal that had just one or two gates. And I'm like, but it was, and he was gone, nowhere to be seen. And I literally just talked to him and walked up to the gate. So I've had that happen.
Okay.
I've heard voices. And I believe in the paranormal.
Right, right. So what have you, the question asks.
Back, oh yeah, go
yeah,
back.
So are there any common, commonalities or connections between
yeah,
religious teachings
when,
and the encounters you've had?
When Jesus died, he rose.
Right, 3 days later.
3 days later. Right. He became a spirit. He showed up after he died. He showed up to his friends. He talked to his friends. So yeah, it's the same thing. They talk about it in the Bible.
Okay, so the commonality there is that Jesus was doing paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to make Paranormal Activity Bible Edition.
Yeah.
The movie.
And there's people that have claimed, like they'll show pictures of like, they've snapped pictures and there's been Jesus, or there's clouds that have been in the form of Jesus. Or
the Lay's potato chip that was sold on eBay that had
Jesus
in
face.
It.
Jesus face. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But okay.
I haven't seen that. But yeah.
No?
They've shown, you know, photos and things of that of Jesus appearing. So.
Right.
How that's paranormal.
By the definition, yeah, that is. Because I know when most people think paranormal, they think ghosts and EVPs. But paranormal just means outside of the normal.
Right.
So,
I
but
mean,
okay.
You could think an angel is paranormal.
Correct. Now, do you believe in angels as like a being coming down from the sky? Because like there's a thing going around with like biblically correct angels. And it's like a bunch of eyes with wings. Are you able to pull that up? You know what I'm talking about, Travis?
I do. It's really creepy.
It's really creepy. Biblically correct angels. Yeah, it's like, I haven't looked up what the Bible says about angels, but it says, everybody's like, this is a biblically correct. If you were to go based on what it says in the Bible, supposedly this is what an angel is supposed to look like.
Okay.
It's really fucking creepy.
It's like,
do they have wings?
Yeah.
Like they have wings. They have multiple eyes. I think, I don't know. It must be from a certain one of the Bibles.
Revelations, which is pretty.
And it's like terrifying, but it's like, but when you see it, you don't feel terrified. You're like calmed by it. And it's just described with like multiple wings and multiple eyes.
Interesting. I've not seen this.
But yeah, it's like it's in the lore of people making silly funds against the kind of like the popular version of, you know, like an angel versus like what's actually like described in the Bibles. Perhaps, again, speaking ignorantly.
So maybe you'll have to come back to me and just say like, okay, based on all of the descriptions in the Bible, this is either that's correct or what we...
I don't know.
Because when people
think
of angels, they think of like a guardian angel, which is like somebody coming down
archangels,
with wings and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. I was just curious about that, if you had seen that, because that's been going around a lot.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay.
And it's not on my feed.
Okay. So there's some lyrics I wanted to talk to you about because have you heard of System of a Down? Oh, so they were really big in the like early mid 2000s.
Okay.
So they have a song called Chop Suey, which is a huge hit. It was like all over the radio. And the funny story behind it is they were with a big producer at the time named Rick Rubin. He's done all the big artists. And his thing is like, if we can't figure out a lyric, like if we're missing lyrics, he has a library. He's like, just grab a book at random and then open a page at random and then just find. And so the book that the singer ended up grabbing, and not because he wanted to, just it was the Bible.
Well, maybe he's drawn to it.
Well, no, because he did this. He wasn't looking, and then he pulled it.
Godly moment.
And so this is like the one thing I do like about the Bible is like it is very well written.
It's beautifully written.
It's beautiful, like poetically beautiful. I want to go over some of these.
Okay.
If it's labeled correctly, because I don't think it's because they sing it in a verse, but I think it's pulled from different sections.
Okay.
So I want to know if any of this. Makes sense to you. So the first line is, Father, do you commend my spirit? Now, obviously, breaking that down, it's commending means like showing approval of, correct?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And then...
are you okay with who I am?
Right. And then the next line is, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Why have you left me, basically?
Or... Right. Right, right.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see if it breaks down, because I always love looking up like biblical quotes, because like they just have so much gravity to them though. Mm-hmm. Because like even if you look at it from my perspective, where like if you were to, you don't necessarily believe in it, but understanding the context of like the gravity of religion and the gravity of like God being an omnipotent being creating you and then you having the fear of it, like I always find those lyrics so like fascinating. Or like those words fascinating.
I know what you're saying. And it's interesting. We have to remember, though, but this has been translated into so many different times. And you can have a children's Bible that's just like plain and simple. So was it written in Hebrew? Was it written in Aramaic? What part? And that's one of the things that we talked about learning all this is what part of the world was this written in? Who was writing it?
Right.
What mindset were they in at that time?
Okay, so I'm.
Do we know where these lyrics come from?
Yeah, so the I commend my spirit is Luke 23:46.
Do we want to look it up?
Sure. Yeah. So it says, which is most likely where the part of the song came from. The line, "Why have you forsaken me? In your eyes forsaken me," is likely referring to Isaiah 49:14, which says, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." So I think they did some paraphrasing to fit the rhythmic timing of the verse and all
so
that.
Luke, what?
The first one is Luke 23:46. Because it says, Jesus said, I commend my spirit.
Luke 23.
Welcome to Bizarre Junkies. We're doing Bible study right now. So take a seat. Have a
23:46?
Yes.
So it says here, Luke 23:46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
It says, I commit?
Commit.
Okay. Granted, this was 2001 when this is written. So I don't know if the Bible was in a different... Or they could have had an older Bible.
Mm-hmm. They could have. So here it says in the study, but it says, I commit my spirit. Jesus' own human spirit returned to the presence of God the Father. So back to spirit, soul, right. Return back to God the Father.
Return to sender, as Elvis said. Okay. And then, so the next one, Isaiah 49:14.
Isaiah 49:14. 49:18?
Yes. One sec. I think it was, I went away. 49:14.
Oh, 49:14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me.
Which, okay, so that's the line that they pulled from.
Mm-hmm. It says, this talks about, in the study Bible, it talks about contrast with the gloom of the Jewish exiles.
Right. Travis, not throwing you under the bus, but you're Jewish.
I am Jewish, and I don't understand how that's throwing me under the bus, but yeah. That's it. Oh, okay.
I'm throwing you into this conversation now, too.
What we're reading, that Isaiah is talking about the restoration of Israel. So the whole part is talking about Israel.
Right.
So... talking about the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me, obviously must have something to do with the Jewish being forgotten at some point, feeling that they're forgotten, whether it was with Pharaoh, whether it was on the 40 years around with Moses. I don't know. I'd have to go back and really spend time on it.
So going back to that initial band I told you about earlier, Infant Annihilator, they, and I've heard this term used around a lot, but like lamb blood, uh-huh, or like lamb. Like there's another metal band that I really like called Lamb, okay, of God.
Okay.
What is the significance of like the lamb figure?
Well, originally, so the people of the Jewish faith, and originally before Christ was born, they would offer sacrifices, and it would be lamb's blood.
Right.
And so you can talk up, I mean, if we want to go into Passover, that's coming up. So they, you know, they, Pharaoh was not letting the people go, right? Pharaoh was not letting the Jewish people go. They were slaves. They were servants. And so God said, if you are Jewish, put lamb's blood over your door and I will pass over. So pass over your house. I will not kill your firstborn son. So that's a very significant part.
I remember there's a movie, I think it's an older movie, and I think it's about Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a thing where like they had
Moses
blood on the door.
Yeah, Moses led them out. Moses was the one that said, put lamb's blood over.
Yeah, and then you hear people being like slaughtered out in the town, but the people with the lamb's blood on their door were safe.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's what that's referring to.
Yeah, and also Abraham went up, and Abraham would sacrifice lambs. Like that was what they used to sacrifice to talk to the Lord. They would sacrifice.
Right, and that kind of goes back to like the Quaker Puritan thing where you're doing things in fear of God. Like we haven't had water in 6 months. We need to, and this is more so going like, you know, like Aztec kind of things where they would sacrifice to hopefully gain something where, mm-hmm, oh, God's mad at us. We have to sacrifice somebody to get crops to grow again.
Right. It was just a way of, I guess, communicating. And so the idea is now with the blood of Christ,
right,
you no longer have to do that because Christ sacrificed himself. And so when you take communion, I don't recall in the Jewish faith, because I know you guys do communion.
Do
I actively study the Jewish faith? No.
Do you go to, I don't know, is it called
temple
church for you guys? Temple?
No.
Do you?
Nope.
Were you bar mitzvahed?
Nope. I'm more of culturally Jewish.
Okay,
than
just
religiously.
By birth.
Birth, blood, if you will.
But your mom is your mom like, mm-hmm, she doesn't go to temple though, right?
My my family's Jewish faith was lost with my grandmother. She didn't really teach my mother.
Oh, okay. So what do you have hanging above your desk?
That's a hamsa. It's like to protect.
Oh, okay. It's like a dream catcher?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. In a way.
Okay. Or like a cross, or
yeah.
But I know you take communion because you break bread as
correct
well.
Correct. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what
everything is a symbol
blood
in the Jewish faith.
You're supposed to
even
be
the
drinking
food you eat on Shabbat, uh-huh, is like this fish has, you know, cultural significance and religious significance. But so it gets lost on me because I didn't study anything. It's just wow, everything I'm
eating.
He was
too busy in film school. He was like, "That's cool, but do you guys know about like cut-ins and J-cuts and..."
Yeah, well, I missed the boat, no pun intended, on...
with Noah?
With Noah. But no, with my Birthright tour, where I probably would have learned a lot of this
awesome
stuff.
Can't go now.
Can't go now.
Ah, yeah, do you want
to... I can go to Israel, though.
You would be conscripted.
Maybe.
They would be like, guess what, brother? Frontline.
Yeah, let's go.
Get in there.
Two years mandatory service. Yeah. Let's go.
But, yeah, I mean, hey, so... Okay, so that was a popular song, and they used religious lyrics. Now... Could you, obviously you were saying maybe he was drawn to it.
Maybe he was drawn to it, yeah.
And here's the thing with like, if you really break it down, nobody will ever know anything unless you were there to experience it. Like, I don't, like you could say, like, let's just say you and Brandon from Vegas had a conversation. And you were like, yeah, he said this. You could say that, but I have no way.
You're not there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, but to be fair, maybe he was drawn to it. So, and I know they're Armenian, so they may have like a.
Oh, yeah.
A different.
They're Christian.
Oh, are they?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Maybe, but so I, but that was like, and the, maybe for me, it's just the experience of like the gravity of those lyrics with the music behind it.
Okay.
But like, cause I've listened to faith, like worship music, uh-huh, and that it's okay, but it doesn't hit me the same way as like, cause
the way
like,
it was performed, the way it was.
Yeah. Cause like, this is always like in a, almost like a dire, desperate, mm-hmm, situation of like. Not necessarily mortality, but like there are some grave consequences with like the lyrics portray like a story of like grave consequences, or it has like such a deep, maybe I don't want to say dark because it's not like the Bible is like trying to be dark. I mean, it has definitely adult subject matter.
Stuff, yeah.
But it always feels so like, I guess I keep using the word, but like, so like the gravity of it is always so heavy every time. And that's something I do enjoy about
it. To you.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Great. I think that's great.
But so, okay, because like I've always, like I have friends that like, when I was in a band, mm-hmm, my bass player was Mormon, but she was like very, like,
Was she practicing?
Yeah, she went to church every weekend. She'd always have conversations with me, and it was always because at that point I was just being an edgy little like shithead, and I was like, God's not real. What has he done for me? Which is like a pretty ignorant way.
Have you ever had a godly moment? Have you ever had a thing that you're like, wow, this can only be God that did this? No.
No.
Not even the birth of your son?
No.
Okay.
It was a crazy moment. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm thankful every minute for him. But with what I have learned of science and of biology and procreating and all that, it's still like crazy because like a few hundred years ago, you would have died when you gave birth to your son. Medicine wasn't there.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, obviously we all made it this far.
Correct. Well, I mean, because the child would be born, but then the mom would die soon after.
A lot of times, yes.
Yeah. And what helped us was like medical advancements. Granted, now you could say God helped us or protected that person or something like that. Or they got that dog in them and they're built different. But yeah, no, I've never had a moment where I'm like, oh, this is.
This can't be explained.
Correct. Well, I mean, I did, but I. Here we are.
I don't know. Yeah. That's why. Okay. That's why we're here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And this isn't necessarily like, I didn't have you on because I'm like, I need to be converted. It was like, no, I just want to have the conversation. And I think this is a very interesting conversation we've been having.
The way I feel about God, religion, because there's multiple gods that, we can talk about Muslims, right? Allah, that's a different God. So my whole thought on it is you do you. You believe you. And if you're drawn towards it, if you're a believer, great. If you're not, that's your journey.
Like, how nice would the world be if just more people felt that way?
I mean, it makes me sad to think that people don't believe in God, but that's your journey. It's, do you know what I'm trying? Like, it's just where you are.
It's not your responsibility to convert everybody.
No, it's my responsibility to live the life I want to live. And I feel like it's my responsibility to teach my son.
Right.
But other than that.
Right, but as a parent, you have ultimately the decision in that. And like I've had that conversation because my girlfriend, it's weird because she's not necessarily religious, but I had a paranormal encounter at the house, and you know what she did? She went to her mom.
Okay.
And her mom gave her holy water.
Okay.
And she spread it across the room, and then I didn't have an experience again in the room. So I was like, okay, maybe. But I always feel like maybe it's just the intention behind it is what.
Could be.
Like, for example, like the Ouija board behind me. I do think like if you were to use that in a negative manner, a low vibrational being, not necessarily a demon, could be invited into
your life. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a demon.
Right.
But low vibrational, just a bad person.
Yeah, the vibes are off.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play with Ouija boards when I was little.
Why? I have this show, but I've never once been like, all right, I'm going to do it.
Well, and you're little. Now I wouldn't touch it.
So if I handed you it, you wouldn't hold it.
I would put it down. I'd be like, okay. It scares me.
Okay.
The intention behind it.
Right. Okay. Me. Yeah.
Unless you say like I am calling on high vibrational beings or something like that. But you don't want to get.
Can we communicate with God through the reach?
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Or
okay.
Angels or things like that. But if you're I wouldn't want
to. So going back to the bass player that I had at the time. She always explained, and it makes sense to me now that I'm older and I would like to think that my brain has developed fully, but she always said that like religion is a two-way street.
Okay.
Where like your relationship, and it's like, I guess because at that time, nobody had ever explained it to me as a relationship with God. They always explained it as, go to church because you got to get right with God. Mm-hmm. But as we're hearing, like you don't have to go to church to be right with God.
No.
Now, interpreting, or wasn't there something where like it was Jesus who said like do not gather to worship
like idolatry, don't worship idols or don't worship.
Well, I knew that one because like pagan,
Christmas,
Halloween,
you can get me going on that one.
All pagan holidays, Easter. but like no, I think our, and obviously it's the internet, so everything is misconstrued, and you have to go deeper. You can't take it at face value. So that's why I'm asking you, as somebody who has studied, is there anywhere where Jesus or maybe even God says like, "Do not gather in places of worship to worship me"?
I don't believe. Do not gather.
Yeah, like don't gather.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't, yeah, no.
So it's just the internet being the internet.
maybe. I mean, the Bible is so big. It's so, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, how many pages are in that one? That one's a study Bible.
That's huge. I don't know how many pages there are in the Bible. I mean, it's huge. So I don't claim to know everything.
Right.
And it's a matter of taking something and saying, I want to read this part. I want to understand this part. But I don't recall saying, like, don't gather.
Okay. So then that's why I'm asking you, because you are definitely the, in this room, you are the expert.
I'm the expert in this room. Okay.
Yes. In this room. I mean, unless Travis is hiding something from me, which he tends to do. So, but I don't think he's that versed in.
I'm actually God.
He's like, I
won't claim that. That's,
yeah, that's actually really bad, right? That. Isn't that like, isn't that stolen valor?
Oh God, I'm sorry.
That's like the South Park reference where Cartman starts a Christian rock band.
Okay.
But not because he believes in God, just because he wants to make money.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm telling the truth. And if I'm not, may the good Lord strike me down right now. And then like Butters is next to him, like starts inching away from him. It's like, actually, because you said that you might actually get it. And then they obviously in the South Park lore, Jesus is real because Jesus is a character that comes in.
Okay.
But Cartman gets like smited a couple of times. Where he like, and I'm not saying this, I'm just quoting this, but he literally says, fuck Jesus, and he gets electrocuted on stage.
Okay.
Like, not like, he stepped on a wire, like just a
lightning
bolt. A
bolt
just
up.
Comes down out of the sky and hits him. But, so, getting back to a few questions, because we're kind of running out of time here, so I want to get to some more questions. So, have you ever engaged in discussions with individuals from other faiths about their perspectives on the paranormal? I guess technically this is one right here.
This is one right here. Not about paranormal specifically. I mean, I've definitely looked at other religions and tried to understand it and things like that. I guess when I talk about paranormal, I don't bring up religion. So I guess we're having it right now because it totally contradicts saying when you die, you're dead.
Right.
And
then
there's ghosts walking around. Sticky paws.
Right.
So,
something that I have been told on the show, and is something I've kind of latched onto and sort of adopted, is somebody told me that when, because I asked him, because he does a lot of paranormal investigations, I said, why is there always like older ghosts? And there's no ghost being like Free Britney. Like there's nobody.
You haven't seen young ones?
No, it's always somebody older. And so the theory he gave me is because back in old, and you know, farther back in time, people died more violently. And so you have such a release of energy depending on how you die. So his theory is that like when you're in like a medically induced coma or like you're sick for a couple of months and you're slowly dying, he said like he feels like maybe your soul has time to prepare to move on.
Like you're ready.
It's not an abrupt, like if somebody came in here and we like just were brutally murdered in this room, God forbid.
God forbid.
Yeah, I like using the term.
Okay.
But I could just gravity. Okay. Gravity. She's about to call me out so hard. But
no, it's interesting.
But so like if we were to come in, if somebody was to come in here and murder all three of us, there would be such a high release of energy.
It would be a shock, right?
Yeah. And he said that the energy like coats the room. And that's why you can go into a haunted location. And that's why you still have activity going on there, is because the energy is still in that room.
Or they're lost. They haven't crossed over. They're not ready to.
Correct. Yeah, like, or yeah, they're not unaware that they're
unaware.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which then goes also back to.
Yeah. Your whole thing. I lived in this elderly apartment. It was built like 1910, and it was apartment house. And sometimes I'd come home and I would see, you know, like a bellboy, mm-hmm. like see a bellboy standing there.
Like, we don't have those.
Right. But he was dressed from like that era.
Yeah.
And I'd look at and I'm like, nope. Go back, he's gone, but I would see it out of the corner of my eye.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, based on that, do you think that is with the Christian faith? Do you think that could potentially have some sort of relevance in like in commonality with the faith of like there is a release of energy, and I guess that goes into like your soul being.
Yeah, I mean, again, from the Christian faith, you're not supposed to believe any of that.
Right.
You're supposed to believe that's wrong and or that Satan or witchcraft or whatever. But I just think that there's probably a lot that's been left out maybe, or things that haven't been added. Like the Book of Mormon is a whole nother chapter that Christians don't believe, but Mormons are Christians.
Right.
It's a whole nother book, right? So But okay, let's go back. Let's go back to Jesus. I mean, he showed up. So
right, and he was, according to the Bible, very violently murdered and right. tortured.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of release energy. Where was he? Historically speaking, where was he, where did he die? In Israel, or like in that area?
Rome.
Oh, in Rome. Okay. So then, how come Israel is the sacred, the holy land?
Because that's where he was born, in Bethlehem.
Oh, okay. So that's like his
believe, yeah.
His hometown. That's where he, well, his UFC fight card has fighting out of Israel.
There's a lot. There's also a lot in Turkey that's happened biblically. There's, right. I mean, that whole area.
It's,
I mean,
like the Middle East is like a very.
The Middle East is all biblical. And then Israel, right,
which is why they're still fighting.
Where, right. Israel's kind of where, like, yeah.
Where the fighting is right now.
Where it's fighting right now, religiously. Mm-hmm.
But okay. All right. So to kind of wrap this up, going back to the whole. The heavy scripture, the heavy just part, like, is there any part of the Bible that just constantly sticks out to you? Like, it's like, it had such a profound message to you that you're like, okay, this is, it's like, it's obviously, you know, a lot of it, but there's one that's like, it's always sticking out to you.
I like the Old Testament, and I also like Psalms. The book of Psalms, they're just a bunch of poems
that you sing, right?
You can't.
Or is that the hymns?
You can. Well, no. You, there are psalms that are made into songs.
Okay.
But there are some that you can read and they're just like, wow, that, like, how is this written so long ago? Or you look at, remember I mentioned the commandments.
Right.
We now have 10 commandments, but there was over 600 commandments. So how is it back then that these things were known, yet now we have science to prove it? Like something, for example, you can't have anxiety and gratitude at the same time. And in the Bible, it says, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it's like, when you have anxiety, don't have anxiety, have gratitude. And that was written thousands of years ago, yet scientists have just proven that. So anytime you have anxiety, if you work in gratitude, your anxiety will go away. Your brain can't do both at the same time.
So we should stop taking Lexapro, 20 yes. milligrams a day. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And just work in gratitude.
Work in gratitude. It'll okay. go away.
Okay.
So I find that fascinating. One other thing I didn't bring up that I just find fascinating as well is this one is good. So this is science. So we'll see how we
got it, Travis. She looked at you too. She looked right
up, looked at
me. Okay. So when we have our DNA, we have our double-stranded helix, and there's a unit called the sulfuric bridge that holds everything together, holds the DNA together. And it appears after every 10 nuclear acids have been laid down, then every 5 nuclear acids, and every 6 nuclear acids, and then every 5. So the pattern is 10, 5, 6, 5, the way that
right.
it's built. And when you look at that on letters, like each letter, each number has a letter with it. It spells Yahweh, which is the name of God. That's Hebrew for God.
Right.
So God has a numerical value in our DNA. So when you look at it, yeah. So in our DNA spells God.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay.
Then also when you take it written in Hebrew and turn the Hebrew words on the side, it actually is a picture of a man. I have it. Do you want to see it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Travis is... the original question is, was there any scripture that just stands out to you? And we're getting into the facts.
Scriptures turn sideways.
Okay. So can you show that to the camera?
So the printout I have in my hand is Hebrew. And then when you turn it on its side, it's a man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You learn something new every day here, folks, on Bizarre Junkies.
Mm-hmm. The original ASCII art.
So our DNA spells God.
Okay. So back to the initial question, is there like a scripture or just a phrase or something that just sticks out to you that maybe has like a lot of just gravity to it?
I think the DNA is really what gets that's me right now. That's what gets me right now. There's not one that I can't think of one right now. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I asked you about this before you even came on.
Yeah.
Our sponsor is Ape Water.
Yeah.
Now, I have used holy water before in the past. Now, am I remembering this correctly? Holy water just means it's been blessed by,
yeah,
by a priest or
by someone who's ordained or so. Back to water, because we were talking about that earlier. You can put any intention in water.
Right, because technically, they say that memory or water has memory.
Memory, it vibrates to whatever your intentions are. So, if, again, speaking of music, have you seen where they like will freeze water that was listening to heavy metal, and the water looks angry?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So you can technically speak into water whatever your intention is. It can be ill harm, or it can be.
Right, wonderful. Or it could be affirmations.
Affirmations.
Or working in gratitude, not anxiety.
Exactly.
We're learning. But okay, so I asked you.
Yeah, to bless the water.
Yeah, I mean, is that something we can do here on the show?
Yeah.
Because we are doing a paranormal investigation next weekend in this exact building, and we want to cleanse it afterwards.
So I would also talk about, because I did write a prayer down here, but I would also work on sealing off the house or praying over the house, which is, I guess it's not a house.
But
is,
over the office, over the building.
Over the domain, over the building. And,
okay.
And water is something that can be used. You can also anoint it with oil, like frankincense oil. That was one of the gifts that was
Travis, what's the ruling? I don't think we're going to be tossing water in here and just...
I mean, I don't see why not. It'll evaporate.
Oh, I'm just... Okay, just
Vegas, there's no humidity.
Well, just don't toss it on the cameras or...
Yeah.
But that's where all the dark energy is.
Don't make
they attach to the cameras like they'll never throw water on me.
Yeah. You want the blood of Christ is the idea,
right, or as close to it as you can.
You want the blood. You want
the intention to be. Want this to be in used of.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So like I'll pray over my son. Right. Like, and I'm like, I want to bless you in the blood of Christ. Like today when I saw like the demon at the postal annex, I was like. Like, don't come in here to my child. Right.
Right.
So you want a blessing over it?
I think so. Like Travis brought it up. He's like, we should have somebody bless this water.
Okay.
Because they're a water sponsor. Thank you to Ape Water. It's great water. I love it. But also like our audience is very spiritual. And so I think they would feel, they tell us all the time, they see beings here.
Okay. Like on the show. Like
Yeah. Not like on the live show. So every Friday we go live and we let people call in. Where I have the spiritualist on who does the tarot readings and stuff like that. And she always tells me, she's like, Austin, the vibes are off in here.
Okay. You need it to be cleansed.
Yeah. And so, I mean, ideally what we want to do next or a week from when they're hearing this episode, we're going to be doing an investigation. Like I want to see if we can communicate with what's here, but then also then cleanse it afterwards.
Okay.
I want to see what's here and then be like, all right, thanks for coming. You don't pay any bills. So you can't like stick around. Because we have video evidence of stuff happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like George had one happen in this room. It wasn't in this room that it happened, but he heard it from in this room and you can hear it in the video.
You also don't know, like you said, that you don't know who was in the building before, but you also don't know who's in the ground.
Correct. And that's where I'm thinking is like potentially this could have been like a burial ground many years before we were building here.
Right, we don't know.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Do we have to dig up what's the landlord policy on digging up the floor?
I don't think there's a policy because it just seems so asinine. But yeah, let's just do it.
Just ruin our lease.
We have land rights in your lease.
Yes. So do you have to like, is it just like, I'm going to pray with the intention this?
Yeah,
or do you do
pray
it over it?
You would.
Do you mean physically over it or just like,
no,
I'm doing it
do
in the intention of
the
this?
The intention of looking at it as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, I love when I see, like nurses praying over hospital beds and things like that.
Right.
And that's wonderful.
See, I don't mind when somebody prays for me because I just, to me, like, I'm like, okay, I don't believe that, but I appreciate the energy you're giving me.
Okay.
The effort you're putting forth. Mm-hmm. Like we have a client here who's very religious. And when I got into a car accident last year, she was like, I'll pray for you. And I was like, I appreciate that. Like, I'm not, I wasn't going to be like, I don't believe. I was like, I appreciate that you're willing to put the effort into thinking about me and my family in that situation. But I guess that's what we're doing here.
We're putting the intention into
it
that it will be blessed.
Yes. And then hopefully we can use it to help us.
I hope so.
Cleanse. I mean, have you had any bad vibes? You've been in here for the last few months pretty consistently.
I haven't been looking for them.
Okay. But that's the thing is like other people haven't been looking for them and it just happens. Like George. George wasn't looking for it. He was recording his own show and then he heard something fall. Very audibly, and you hear it on the camera, and then he goes out there, and there's nothing had been displaced or moved or...
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, I haven't felt anything.
I guess to wrap up the show, I guess we'll let you do your thing.
The holy water. I guess
Austin, yes. Do you want to stack the two cases just near in front of her? Just
so I mean, this one's empty.
Oh, that one's empty?
This one's for show.
You want to push the case just closer?
Yes, let's move it closer to you. That's a full case, by the way.
I'll hold it.
Oh, she'll hold. Oh, that's my God. Heavy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're. Well, it's canned water. I mean, it's aluminum.
Aluminum.
Yeah. That's what the can is. So, I mean, is that biblically allowed or?
I don't know.
We haven't gotten that deep yet.
I don't know. Was aluminum back then? I don't know. I'm sure.
Well, I mean, in the ground,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but not like. They weren't canned. Using it canned.
They were like, in 2024, Alexandra Harbushka shall not drink from aluminum containers. But okay, all right, enough of me interrupting. I'll let you do your thing now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're asking that you rest and reside and rule in this water. And everyone that drinks this water, enjoys this water, will benefit from it. We ask that you're covered in the blood of Christ. And we put up protection and shield against evil. I dedicate this water to you as well as what will be done here and pray that the people that consume this water will have a healthy, happy day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
My own little touch there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. So I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about prayer that I've learned. You know, there's a lot of prayers that you can say, this is how you're supposed to pray. Like,
there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Beginning, a middle. Like after you have, like there's a Lord's Prayer, and then, you know, I have communion prayer and all these things. You can just talk to God directly. You can say your own words when you pray. You can pray over your food. And again, it's putting the intention into it that's going to be sacred.
That means more than the word you're saying.
Yeah, and exactly. And I'm sure that, you know, you can go and get holy water from the Holy Land. But when you baptize someone, you're baptizing in water. It's not necessarily the water is holy, but you're putting the intention into that. So you can either go
into the rebirth of them.
Yes. So you can go to the bathtub. You can go to the ocean.
We did it in a pool. When I was going to church, I remember going to a baptism, and it was in the church. It was in the pool, and then we swam in the pool afterwards. So maybe I guess I was technically baptized.
No.
the pastor didn't do it to me deliberately,
So, I mean, it's just blessing. It's this blessing whatever you want to bless.
Okay.
With the intention. Anyone can do it. You don't have to be a minister.
Well, then. Okay. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much for coming. We're going to have you come back on because there's a lot more questions.
I can't wait. And I'll have my stats right. I was so ready to prove.
Well, now I'm going to have to bring like Michael Sartain in or something. I'm going to have to bring backup.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not going to bring Michael because Michael will just. Yeah, I'd love, psychology.
I'd love to be here with a medium.
She is cool. And so the thing about her is because I find that most mediums are just shills. They're just trying to get money out of you. They're like, you have a relative that's dead.
Right.
She doesn't even advertise it. She does it.
Yeah.
And she was on the show and she did a reading on Lana at the time. Like I've knew her, but I never told her anything. I just said, hey, you want to come on the show? And she's like, yeah, sure. And she goes, and I saw it happen where she goes, somebody's communicating with me and only her right arm had goosebumps. And she goes, this is what it happens when somebody's trying to communicate to me to talk to somebody else.
Wow.
And she told Lana about how you have a little boy that follows you. And she's like, yeah, I named him Frank. But Lana was like, yeah, I have video of him shushing me and him doing stuff like that. And so it was crazy.
Paranormal.
But she lives out of state. So when she comes back, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. We'll have to do like a round table.
Okay. I love that.
We'll have to bring like Travis.
I'm all into the medium show.
Travis is the science Jew. Jewish
the science Jew.
Alexandra is the minister.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the vibes. Maybe we'll bring, I don't know, David Dendy or something.
David Dendy is another friend of the studio.
He's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like, let's have him bless it. But I was like, well, Alexandra's going to come on the show. Yeah. She's a minister. I think that means she can do
same
it.
Same thing. Yeah, anybody really can.
It's the intention.
It's the intention behind it. What do you want to do with this water? Yeah, but I'm sure there's people that would say, well, no, actually it has to come
The Pope has to do it.
The Pope has to do it or something like that.
Well, that's like premium. Like that's a premium package.
Yeah, that would be the premium on Amazon.
Yeah, that'd be prime shipping and all that. You have to pay extra. But Alexandra, thank you so much for
coming on. Thanks for having me.
Are you doing anything these days? What do you have in the works? Do you have anything you want to let the people know about?
I'm just happy with my family and being a mom, and that's what I'm working on
right now.
And
giving us animal facts on
that.
Be my neighbor.
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. That's it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. Thank you so much to everybody listening. You can support this show by becoming a YouTube member for as little as 99 cents a month. You get access to special content like the full uncut version of the paranormal investigation we did. Also, as of now, you heard we are doing another paranormal investigation, so you will get early access to that. Travis, that means they can see it before we can, really.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just upload the raw.
Oh.
not even cut. Just here's all the footage, dude.
It's gonna be great. So knowing that, I'm gonna add sprinkle some fun stuff that won't be released.
I think we do that now. But you'll get the full uncut version from the first Paranormal Investigation. We have the full interviews with the staff that we did, and we only show maybe 30 seconds of each interview in there, so you can see the whole thing by becoming a YouTube member. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Puffy Slippers, who are behind me. You can use code BIZARRE for 15% off your entire order. And thank you to our friends over at Ape Water for keeping us hydrated. And now
it's blessed.
Now it's blessed. So now we're safe. Really,
we gotta mark that so we don't accidentally lose it.
We should put a cross on it.
We can make something happen.
So, but thank you so much to Travis for being a real one and helping us. And make sure you check out our live stream every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where you, the audience, gets to call in and tell us your stories. It makes it super easy for me, but I love having you guys on and hearing your stories. But until next time, everybody, stay bizarre.